The Bleed Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMaxBatteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMaxBatteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMaxBatteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON at checkout. That's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. 20% off those already low prices. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CellMaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys.
All right, what's up, everybody? Celtics post-game live here with KJ. Ev is out again tonight. Ev's been busy. Ev's a busy guy, so we're doing Celtics post-game. And I think of all the places we have to start, let's just start, and I know there's multiple places we could start tonight, but let's start with Aaron Nesmith, who had by far his best game as a rookie, career high for points, career high for rebounds, career high for – I mean, career high is pretty much across the board, right? It's not, and I don't need to keep saying it. He was unbelievable tonight, and I think, throughout his rookie season, he hasn't brought the shooting that everybody would have wanted, right? He's been – somewhat lackluster in that department, or less than what people thought he was going to be. I think a lot of people thought he was going to come in and shoot, at least 37, 38, 39% from deep, somewhere in that range, 37 on the low end, 39 maybe on the high end. And he hasn't been able to do that. And it's actually been Pritchard who's brought them that three-point shooting boost that they've really needed this season. But throughout his rookie season, he's always had this, you can see him play with a lot of hustle and dive for loose balls and put his body on the line. And I think those are some of the qualities that you have to have liked about him so far in his rookie season, right? Because, even if you're not having if you're not having the greatest shooting night, or you're having an off game offensively, at least in the future, he'll be able to bring that. And that's not something everybody can do. So you got to give Nesmith credit for what he's been able to do in that regard all season long. And in this game, he did it a lot, too. The only difference was he actually shot pretty well as well. He played a huge role tonight, especially, with Marcus Smart out, who, otherwise would have been getting most of those minutes. Brad Stevens trusted him. He gave him the time. And Nesmith, he did it all. So you have to really – I mean, we have to start with Nesmith and what he did tonight. And I see Steven already saying in the chat there should be co-players of the game you could argue there should be three players of the game. Because you're saying Brown and Tatum, you should argue, if we're grading on a curve, which I don't know if we want to do or not, but if we're grading on a curve, Nesmith deserves a lot of credit for the game he had too. So, I want to give it to all three, honestly. If I have to give it to one, I don't know. I mean, look, Ev's given me the pregame show. He's letting me borrow the pregame show, I should say. So I can pick whoever I want. Why don't we save it? I'll tell you what, I'm gonna think about it for a little more. I'll read your chats, and maybe we'll collectively pick a player of the game. So let me know who you think I should pick tonight for the player of the game, because it's tough. It's really, really is really tough. But Steven's saying that. We'll get into the stuff with Tatum and Brown, too. I mean, 73 combined points. They both were just – you could argue, as much as I just said it's the best split game Nesmith has played this season, you could argue it's the best game – those two have played together all season, like playing off of each other. They were great tonight. They were electric. They were feeding off of each other all night long. So got to give them a lot of credit for what they were able to do. And, come out against Charlotte and really, in a game that they really needed to win after being on a three-game skid, their two best players stepped up. And that's what's really important. And we'll get to more. I want to touch more on the kind of, the three-game skid and what it means later on. But we'll get into some of the comments now because I know you guys want to talk about your game thoughts as well. Good game. Been MIA since Celtics played terrible last three games. All right, hey, I was going to say this, but if you want to get right into it, let's get right into it, okay? The Celtics, they didn't have a great last three games. But look, they were just coming off an incredible stretch where they were playing some great basketball. And on top of that, you just had, you know, in the two of those three games, you didn't have one of either Tatum or Brown and Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker missed two of those, and Brown missed the one against the Nets, and Tatum missed the last one. So, you didn't have your full complement. I understand you can still make the argument they still should have won those games. And if you make that argument, that's fine. They probably still should have. But, these aren't, when you're talking about judging the team for losses in which they didn't have at least like one of their star players and then their third best player in both of those games, they didn't have two of their best three players in two of those three games. So it's one thing to say they should have won. It's another thing to judge the Celtics and make kind of huge judgments on their season based on those three games. It's just, it's silly to do that because you're judging a team that's not, that doesn't, not putting their best unit out there. And quite frankly, when it comes down to, judging teams for their, what they can do in the playoffs, what they can do in the playoffs. When you're judging NBA teams, it's really about the star players. That's no secret. So if you're going to judge the Celtics when they don't even have their star players out there, that's a little too much for my liking. But more in the chat, Kevin saying a great bounce back win, an awesome game by Nesmith. Absolutely. Don't need much from others if the Jays do this in the playoffs. And that's what it really comes down to. As much as we want to talk about, what's going to happen with the rest of the team, you want to debate what's going on with Kemba right now, and now he's another injury, and what's he going to look like come playoff time and all that stuff. If the Jays are playing at this level, which is like, the level they played tonight is a lot to ask come playoff time. I don't think they're going to be combined for 73 plus points every night. But if they can, put up 60 combined, and Fournier can play well, and Kemba can give you, 15, 16, 17, then all of a sudden, that's a really tough out. And I've been consistent on that. And if they can be fully healthy, which they haven't really been all season, if they can get there, I'm really interested to see what this team can do. Cause I think they have four legit scoring threats in, Kemba, Fournier, Brown, and Tatum. So I really want to see what it all looks like together. And now I think they have a nice complement of role players around those guys with Pritchard, Thompson, Jabari Parker, Marcus Smart, obviously. So I really, really want to see what this team can do fully healthy. And if they get fully healthy, I think everybody's going to be pleasantly surprised with what they see in the playoffs. Let's see. Gregory saying, so Nesmith should be playing. That is obvious after tonight. Play more Jabari because he's good offensively. No more Romeo and Grant. We better, I don't know what you're saying there. Or we better not or something like that. But that's a good point. I would say, cool the Jets a little bit on Nesmith. Like it was one good game. If he can string a few of these together, that's another thing. But tonight was really, really good and really, really encouraging for a guy that so far in his rookie season wasn't showing you as much as you wanted to see. He's been a little below average, a little below what you expected. He's underwhelmed just a touch. And, if he can put together a few more performances, not like this. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is elite level rookie play. But, if he can, give you 8-9 points off the bench on a few more nights and, 7 rebounds, and then rebounds wouldn't be discounted either. I mean, you look at his hustle stats, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 blocks. I mean, he was just doing it all tonight. And if he can just do those little things and the scoring comes along, he's going to be a great player long term. But as far as this season, he's still clearly growing. But this is the peak, okay? You can't, as much as I'm saying you can't judge the Celtics off of their floor with, Tatum and Kemba out and Brown out, you can't judge Nesmith off of his peak either. Like this isn't, the real Aaron Nesmith. This is, him at his very, very best, which he's not going to be every night. But, again, even if he gives you 60, 70% of what he did tonight, that's a really good player. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe he has come along this season. Maybe he's now, ready to be handed a larger role and contribute, down the stretch of the season. In the playoffs are a different animal. So I'd say this is more of an encouraging sign for next season than it is for the playoffs, because once playoff time rolls around, I don't know if Nesmith is going to be ready for that level of competition, but we'll see. Jimmy J, I see you're saying congrats to Nesmith. Cut Jabari, LOL, 0 defense, no minutes. I think that's a little far. I don't think it's time to cut Jabari yet, by any means. I think he's been a nice piece when he's been out there, and he's still better than whatever you could pick up on the street. I think that he was like clearly a solid pickup. So I think cut Jabari is a little too much for me, but it's Gear. I see you in the chat celebrating, that I'm here. I appreciate it. Let's see what else. I lost the comments. I'm pulling a real Ev now. Aaron Nesmith is a shooter. This NBA burner account. Aaron Nesmith is a shooter. We are praising him for just effort. He was good today, but he was not the sniper we needed him to be. Either way, the bench is still trash. Nesmith won't crack a playoff rotation yet. That is a lot, NBA burner account. I don't know whose burner account you are, but I can see why you are one, because that was some that was pretty aggressive. You know, you don't need to go that hard on Nesmith. I mean, you know, I think, you know, why are we going to bash Nesmith for all these things when he just had a great game? Like, I'm being tame when I'm talking about Nesmith. Like, he had a great night, and but the idea that, you know, he's supposed to be a shooter, we're praising him for effort. Like, yeah, you're going to praise him for effort. You know, if he's giving, why would I be like, oh, you're giving me this additional value. Boo, I want you to be just a shooter. No, if you're going to also give me effort and score the ball well, which you did tonight, of course I'm going to praise him. Like, you need effort from guys like that. You need them to play hard. And the fact that Nesmith is doing this is great. I don't know why you're talking about it as if it's a bad thing. I mean, overall, I agree that he's probably not going to crack a playoff rotation yet. But you say yet, and I say yet too, because I think he could down the road, you know, sometime a couple years from now. But as far as, like, your take that the bench is still trash, I actually like the bench. I think since they brought in Jabari and they brought in Fournier, it's kind of going to come together nicely once everyone's healthy, if everyone can get healthy, when you're going to have, you know, Pritchard, Fournier, Thompson, Jabari. You'll have Nesmith if he continues to play well. Like, they can go 8 deep and 9 deep on that bench, and it's really solid. So they have some really solid players. I see Evs in the chat too, saying treat the viewers well. I'm treating the viewers well. I know I have Evs probably watching on the road or something. I don't know. He might be on the road. He might be home now, but I know he had some things going on tonight, so he couldn't make it. So I'm filling in as per usual when I'm able to. MT23, I see you in here. Welcome back, man. Put some respect on JB. Nesmith balling out tonight. Continues to improve in hustling. Love to see it. JB player of the game, no doubt. Only reason the C's got the hot start, dropped 20 in the first. That is true. Look, that is true. But I'm wondering, do we grade on the curve, you know? Because, yeah, JB was great tonight. 20 in the first, 38 points, wow. But if we compare that to what his season's been and we compare Nesmith to what Nesmith's season's been, I think Nesmith played more above his head than Jalen did tonight. Jalen, don't get me wrong, it was a great game from Jalen. It was one of Jalen's better games of the season. But Jalen's averaging, you know, 24 points per game. He had 14 more. I mean, Nesmith, I guess, you know, but if we go by percentage, you know, I'm saying, you know, Nesmith more than, like, doubled his scoring average. Jalen didn't. So we go not by pure points, but percentage. Like, I'm not going to bore you guys with math. But listen, I think there's a real argument that if you want to grade on the curve, we should give it to Nesmith. But I'll continue to hear you guys out, and we'll decide collectively who gets player of the game. If you guys think it should be Jalen, we'll give it to Jalen. But I'm you know, fielding all possibilities right now. I'm not ruling anything out. Thompson was good today. Thompson was really good today. Thompson, and as much as we talk about the way that Jalen started and the help that you know, boost that gave the Celtics early on, Tristan was really, really good early too. And he was just as big in terms of giving, you know, the Celtics that little energy boost that they needed and all that stuff. Like, that was really, really important. And that can't be discounted in the fact that, you know, the Celtics were out to such a hot start that they eventually blew, but I'm sure we'll get to that later. But Thompson was really good tonight. And, you know, again, we're seeing Thompson kind of ramp things up now that the playoffs are getting closer and closer. And you have to wonder, is this part of the plan? Was this planned by Thompson? I mean, he talks all the time about, oh, yeah, when I was with the Cavaliers, we didn't start trying until the playoffs, which is, like, great. We don't have LeBron James. So, you know, we can't really do things that way, Tristan Thompson. But if that's the way he wants to do things, okay, put your money where your mouth is. And he kind of is right now. He's starting to ramp things up. He's starting to play really well as the playoffs get closer and closer. And if he continues to do that and becomes a key piece playoff time, I think everybody's going to be happier with that signing than they have been to this point. Not that everyone's been, you know, sorely disappointed with it. He hasn't been, you know, a god-awful signing or anything of the like. But, you know, I think that it's underwhelmed just slightly. You know, I think that overall people wanted a little bit more from Tristan Thompson than they've gotten. And I think it's less about Thompson and more about the team overall not playing great. But even still, you know, I think all, you know, what Tristan Thompson and it's Tristan Thompson signing came down to was helping the team come playoff time and the championship experience. Because last year, I'm pretty sure they didn't even have anybody who'd even been to the NBA Finals, never mind won one. So having the championship experience was the big key to signing him in the first place. And we'll see if that makes any sort of impact. I have my doubts that it will, considering where their seed is, but we'll see. You know, we'll see if Thompson can actually have a significant a significant impact on the team come playoff time. Adam Wong, what's up, Adam? Saying, is this the first time JT and JB have both had a game in the 30s? It is not. It is not the first time they both had 30-point games. It might be their highest scoring total. I don't have that statistic. I don't know if someone can get it for me. It's Gear. Maybe I'll recruit. I'm not going to make you do that. It's Gear. But I don't know if someone has it on Twitter. I'm sure if it is the case, it's been tweeted out already. It's got to be close to their highest combined scoring total. I wouldn't say it's I don't know. I would guess not quite there, maybe second or third highest scoring total. But it might be the first time they've ever been above 35-plus points, both of them in a game. So that's been really impressive. At NBA Burnout, you're saying no, it wasn't the first time. Yeah, I was saying the same thing. Not above 30, maybe above 35. But give JB his respect. If you guys want JB to be player of the game, I'll give it to him. But you got to tell me, okay? Jays were great. KJ, Cutthroat has, this team has zero depth. I'm going to slightly disagree with you. I think they've improved the depth. At the beginning of the season, I would have agreed with you. I would have said, yeah, their depth is terrible. They have no bench, whatever else. But as Pritchard's come along, as they brought in Evan Fournier, who's, by the way, arguably the best sixth man in the league. Like, Evan Fournier is really, really good. And, you know, I think Jabari's been a nice piece and Thompson's good. So I actually am not as down on their depth as you are. Like, and their bench scoring, they're statistically, they still rank very, very low. I just think they've made improvements recently that are really going to help that bench and a reason it's going to really improve. And look, Fournier hasn't played much since they traded for him. He's played, what, 7 games, 8 games now, something like that. So as, you know, time continues to go on, they get fully healthy, Fournier can be, you know, in more of that bench role. You're going to see it. You're going to see that little bit of improvement there. Let's see if we can tweet this out really quickly so I don't have to pause the stream too much. All right, here we go. All right. Let's see. You're saying this is a bunch of guys, G League. It's not a bunch of G League players. That's a step too far for sure. It's not just a bunch of G League guys out there on the bench. What are you saying? All these guys on the bench, Semi, Grant, Carson, Taco, Tremont, Romeo, and Nesmith are all ballers for the EuroLeague. I will say, like, the guys you listed are, you know, you could argue those guys should all be in the G League. But I can list you 4 guys off the bench that are all legit NBA players. And come playoff time, you really only need to go 9 deep, if that. So, you know, I don't think it's like a huge, a huge deal that they have all these young players on the bench that they're still trying to progress. Sure, but things can, they still have time for those guys. Ultimately, you know, I think that, you know, their bench right now and the top end is still pretty solid. But you're saying they're never going to be healthy. Yeah, you know, we can only hope that they're eventually going to be healthy. But the Jays are hoopers. They have a terrible supporting cast. I will say this season, the supporting cast hasn't been good. But, you know, you just got to hope that they can, you know, bring it all together. And that if they can get healthy, then I think you're going to see some serious improvement there. Sorry about the aggressiveness, KJ. It's all good. You know, as long as it's a friendly debate, as long as you're not coming after me, I think you're making some good points. You know, I think I'm making some good points. I think we're having a friendly debate here. So it's all good. You know, you don't need to be sorry about that. And you're right. It has been a rough year. I think everybody goes, everybody in the chat would agree it's been a rough year. But, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, things can't still turn around. I think that you just got to hope that they can have their full complement of weapons. And then we'll see what team they can really be. Empty saying, okay, Nesmith can have it. You're saying player of the game? Okay, we're gonna vote for Nesmith. So we'll see. I'm gonna count. I don't know, Empty. I think you voted twice, but I don't care. I'm gonna count 2 votes for JB. I can't go back and look. So 2 votes for JB, 1 vote for Nesmith so far, and then there's my vote, which is obviously weighted because I'm the host. No, we'll see. I'll decide at the end. We'll decide. We'll let everybody's comments filter in. But if again, we're gonna decide collectively who the player of the game is, and then Ev is gonna. You know, Ev, if you're still out there listening, you're going to have to mark this down as an official player of the game, tally. So if these gets it, you're just going to have to count it for him. But you're saying JB does this often, semi-often, you know, more often than Nesmith does what he did. 39 last night, 38 tonight. It's common at this point. Might as well give it to the young blood, a player of the game. That's what I'm saying. You know, just throw him a bone. You know, it's like this. When I played basketball back in my day, I wasn't that great. But I was in the divisions. They had the division rankings of the players. I was a little older than everybody else. So I kind of dominated the division. You know, I put up a 20-21 game. I didn't get player of the game. Why? Because they wanted to give it to the young kid. You know, they wanted to throw him a bone because I know I'm the best. All right. And again, I was bad. That's why I was dominating these kids that were like a year younger than me. But hey, you know, I just went against the competition they put in front of me. I'm still salty. I should have got the player of the game. The point is that that's why we might give it to Neesmith tonight. We'll see. I don't know. Now I'm salty. I'm thinking about my player of the game. Maybe I will want to give it to Jalen. I don't know. What do you say? JD went off in the W. Needs to be added to that. We'll see. Deuce for player of the game. I don't know if Deuce Tatum. Maybe I'll. That's a vote for Deuce. So we'll see. A Deuce goat. All right. That's two votes for Deuce, guys, and we're deciding this collectively. If I get a couple more votes for Deuce, we might have to give the player of the game. I said we were deciding this collectively and on vote. So if you guys are going to give it to Deuce, my hands are tied. I'm sorry, yeah, if you're listening. Like, there's nothing I can do. If the people want to give it to Deuce Tatum, then Deuce Tatum's going to have to be player of the game. You can't blame me. It's Gear saying, I would be fine not seeing Water play again this year. Harsh, a little harsh, certainly. But understandable because, you know, Waters, you know, as much as we might say, yeah, you know, he brings some good things, you know, for a second round pick, pretty good defensively, decent floor general a little bit, you know, not so much. I mean, he makes some boneheaded plays as smart as he is, but even still, you know, there's a reason he was a second round pick. There's a reason he's on a two-way contract. You know, if anybody wanted to sign him to a full-time contract, they could because he's a two-way guy, but nobody does. And it's the same thing with Taco. Like, this is the same thing I talk about with Taco all the time. So there's a reason Waters is like that. And, yeah, if Smart and Kemba were healthy, he wouldn't be playing. So I think it does say a lot, though, that he's playing over Carson. That says a lot about Carson rather than Waters. That's not a good sign. But MT saying this is for sure the first time they both had over 30 and been this efficient and effective on both ends with calling out switches and everyone. So if you want to say it's their best, I think I came in and I agreed with you. If you're going to say it's the best game they've played off of each other together, you know, all around, both of them on their, you know, on it all night and just playing at an elite level. I think that might be the case. That might be the first time they've played both at this high of a level in the same game. All around. So I actually agree with you. I think that they both played very, very well tonight. Obviously, 73 combined points, ridiculous. But you're right. I mean, all around, they were both fantastic. So you could, I mean, that could very well be the case. If anybody else has another game they want to throw in the ring and say, no, this game was better for them as a duo, go ahead and do it. But you'd be hard-pressed to find one better than this. Let's see. But Jabari is barely getting minutes. He is barely getting minutes now. He was when he first got here, and who knows why they've gone down. Could be any number of reasons. I know that Robert Williams was missing some time when he went out and the Celtics were playing him as a small ball center. So, you know, maybe that's why, since Rob has come back, he's gotten less minutes and all that stuff. So who knows? Maybe it's matchup-based. Could also be that. So ultimately, I think, you know, we'll have to wait and see on Jabari. Maybe the Celtics just kind of put him out there, kind of trial by fire, and then we're like, all right, now let's pull it back and let's get you, you know, a few more reps and get you more, you know, acclimated to the team before we really throw you to the wolves out there. And that can make a lot of sense. But I think that, you know, they signed him to a two-year contract. So he's going to be around next season, presumably. And they see him as a significant part of this team. So we'll see if that continues and what that means for you know, going forward this season and then into next season. Let's see. I think we still have another level to reach on defense. Jaylen Brown can be a lockdown defender. He shut down Harris and Siakam last year. I think there's – Jaylen Brown has the – certainly has the traits to be a really, really good defender. I just think it's rare, it's very, very rare that you see a player the elite two-way players are few and far between this league. You're talking about, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and, you know, after that, the two-way wings, they're hard to come by. So, I mean, both of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, both won Defensive Player of the Year, I think. So, you know, beyond that, then you get down to, you know, I don't know, Drew Holiday as a, you know, guard, pretty good two-way player, but not as great offensively. Middleton, pretty good two-way player, not as great defensively. So, you know, it's not every day that you see a player be a lockdown defender and elite scorer. Jaylen Brown, pretty good defender and elite scorer. Seems like what I would expect. I don't know if I ever expect him to be like Kawhi Leonard level. He's solid. He can be a really good defender, but I don't know if he can be great. Being a great defender goes beyond just, you know, just pure athleticism and talent and length and all that stuff. It's another level. And I, quite frankly, haven't seen anything from Jaylen to suggest to me he can be Kawhi Leonard defensively. I think offensively, he's shown he can be like Kawhi Leonard offensively. Defensively, Kawhi's instincts are very, very special. I don't see those instincts from Jaylen. I just see him being good, not great. But we'll see. I hope I'm proven wrong. It would be awesome if Jaylen could be as good as Kawhi defensively. But we'll ultimately see. It's like you're saying, no disrespect to Waters, but if he has to play this year, that is not a good thing. Just because it means we have lots of injuries. Absolutely, yeah. That's putting it pretty simply. You know, if you're playing, your two-way guy, if you're starting him no less, then that's an issue. That's certainly an issue. And, you know, it goes back to the thing of us just hoping that everybody can get healthy. Deuce only gets it if Mama Tatum, Mrs. Cole, gets some love too. All right, well, now we're talking about two players of the game, like, and none of them playing the game. Now we're treading into territory, guys, where, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get away with this. I wanted to give you guys, you know, the vote and the chance to pick the player of the game here. But now I don't know. I feel like now I'm going to get in some trouble if we're giving it to Deuce Tatum and Mama Tatum. I feel like those are, you know, those are a little bit too off the beaten path, you know. But we'll see. I mean, there's always a chance. There's always a chance. If you guys continue to vote, maybe I'll give it to him. We'll see. I mean, I don't want to get in trouble. You know, like I said, I'm babysitting the pregame show here tonight, you know? So the postgame show, rather. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to, you know, not give me another chance to come talk to you guys. If I give it to Mama Tatum and Deuce Tatum, then I might have some hell to pay. So, you know, we got to be careful here, guys. We can't necessarily just be giving out awards to people who don't play in the game. But we'll see. Again, I'm not afraid to do it. You think I'm afraid? If you dare me to give the player of the game to Deuce Tatum and Mama Tatum, you think I won't do it? Okay, I'm not chicken now, all right? I'll do it. I will give the player of the game to the whole Tatum family, okay? Everybody. I'll give the player of the game to everybody from St. Louis if you guys dare me, all right? I'm not afraid, all right? I'm not afraid of him. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. Okay, speaking of Rob, he's got to have one of the biggest impacts on the team. He's not far behind Tatum and Brown. He covers so much space, even on the minutes of restriction. His presence is huge. And, yeah, I mean, we saw that chase down block he had tonight against Graham where he just tracked it the entire way down the floor. Like, Graham never stood a chance. I think it was Graham that he swatted off the backboard on the chase down. Like, I don't know how he didn't realize, hey, you got Robert Williams running behind you, the guy with a 7'5 wingspan. And jumps out of the gym. Yeah, you're not getting this layup off, guy. But you know, that's what Rob does. I mean, he's an insane athlete, insanely long, great timing. Obviously, 2-time defensive player of the year in college. So I mean, you know, he's ridiculous. There's no hiding that fact. So yeah, certainly, you know, you could argue that you know, Rob is very impactful. And I don't know if I'd say, you know, the third most impactful player on the team. I'd still pick a few players over Rob, but I can see why you'd make that argument because, you know, it's not totally unfair. You know, I get where you're coming from. I think the goal for this team should just play good basketball and build good traits. I think that's, you know, that's a fine goal. I think you need to be a little bit more ambitious than that, quite frankly. I understand why you have some trepidation of saying, like, well, I don't think they're going to do a lot this season. They haven't given me a lot of faith in them going into the playoffs, and why you'd be like, hey, you know, I'm not exactly expecting them to go to the NBA Finals here. But even still, you know, they should have the talent to do more than let's just play well and get ready for next season. You got to put some real expectations on them and, you know, talk and, you know, give them a little bit more on their to-do list than just play well and all that stuff. Who would you feel most comfortable in a playoff series facing in round one? This is a fun question because right now there are really only two. There's really only two options because I'm not picking, you know, the Bucks or the Nets or the Sixers. Anyway, I'm not picking any of those teams in the first round. So it's really between the Knicks and the Hawks, realistically. And if I have to pick between those two, it's tough. What was the question exactly? More comfortable. Who do I feel more comfortable playing? Honestly, I feel like this is the wrong answer, but I would feel more comfortable playing against the Knicks. I honestly would. And the reason why is because, I mean, Julius Randle's been really, really good this season, but if it comes down to, do I have more faith in the Celtics in a grinded out game or where, you know, both teams are kind of struggling to score, or a shootout against the Hawks, believe it or not, I have more faith in them in the grinded out game, because I just think I feel like, no, even as good as the Knicks defense is, I feel like the Celtics are just are good enough to outscore the Knicks. And if on the on their worst night, I don't know if they're good enough to outscore the Hawks. Because we've seen some games this season. We've seen some games this season against both teams. Now that I think about it, if you think back to like January, February, they you could argue the two worst games of the season, or two of their worst games of the season, were against the Knicks and the Hawks. They got blown out by the Knicks, and then they got that other game where they got blown out by the Hawks, steamrolled by Clint Capella, I believe. So both have given you some problems. I would just say at the end of the day, when Tatum and Brown are at their best and Kemba's at his best, they're scoring combined 60 points, and the Knicks like don't have any three guys that are doing that. So even though the Knicks are really good defensively, and I it was a tough choice, and I'm giving the Knicks a ton of credit for what they've done this season, and Tom Thibodeau a ton of credit. I just think the Celtics are going to have not too hard of a time outscoring the Knicks. And the Hawks, if you get in a shootout with the Hawks, that's not where you want to be with the Hawks. So I'll take the Knicks on that one. Maybe I'm whistling past a graveyard there. But, you know, you're talking about two pretty good teams and two teams that have both given you problems. So that's a tough one. That's a good question, though. Talk to you, James, for the good question. MT23, Waters had a great start, but that second half, he had far too much rope to play with. He's the epitome of a pinch hitter in basketball, and that's all he should be. That's an interesting take. You know, hold on. Let me just sweep this out one more time. Let's do this one more time. Getting this tweet out one more time, just before we wrap up here. Not too soon, but somewhat shortly here. But anyway, back to the point at hand of what you were asking about Tremont Waters. Tremont has one good skill. He's pretty good defensively. That's about it. Like he's pretty much average or below average at everything else. So to that point, you say you compare him to a pinch hitter. I think there's something to be said for that. It's not a terrible comparison of like, if you just need defense, maybe you put him out there, even though they have better defensive lineups. If like Marcus Smart is healthy, then their best defensive lineup is probably like Smart, Brown, Tatum, Romeo, you know, Romeo with the two, and then Rob. Like that's probably their best defensive lineup. If I had to pick it and throw it out there, I think Romeo is really good defensively. So if you're trying to just get a defensive stop, you probably have Romeo out there over Tremont. But yeah, it's even still, like that's why we're talking about, you know, not having Tremont out there too often. But it's here. I see you saying future Patriot Justin Fields for player of the game. Okay, now that's one vote for Justin Fields. You know, I don't hate that. You know, I'm not totally against that. I feel like that's, you know, we got to pander to a potential new player in the city of Boston. So this is the world of Boston sports. You know, he's going to go to Foxborough, but whatever. But it still comes to Boston. But you know, I don't know. I don't totally hate that. We'll see. You're saying JB gets it. Neesmith, he's a participation trophy. It's 2021. People love those. No, MT, come on. No participation trophy. Look, I get why you're saying that. I understand you're like, you know, you're making that analogy, but this was a real trophy. Neesmith, for this right here, where is it? This right here, okay, for that thing, Neesmith deserves more than a participation trophy for 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. If he had just played 28 minutes and done nothing, you could say, yeah, participation trophy, whatever. No, this is real trophy level stuff. This was really, really good. We got to reward Neesmith for this kind of performance. I get what you're saying, but this is good stuff right here, okay? 15, 9, 3, and 3. That is something else, okay? And the hustle he showed, that was really good, okay? Let's see. MT saying, you'd be more comfortable playing the Hawks. They play no D. If the Hawks aren't hitting their shots at the great clip, we'd gentlemen sweep them. Here's what I'll argue about the Hawks thing. You know, I hesitate to say this because Rob's come a long way, but even when Rob was out there, they really, really struggled to guard Clint Capella. They really didn't have an answer for Clint Capella. And Trae Young is going to be hard to guard. And the Hawks weren't even fully healthy last time the Celtics played them. And if they get fully healthy by the time the playoffs roll around, they're going to be a tough out. So I still think I would rather play the Knicks because I trust, you know, I trust Tatum or Brown defensively against Julius Randle. I think you could even, and as good as Julius Randle is, I don't say this lightly, whatever the expression I'm looking for would be, but you could put Marcus Smart on him too. And the reason I say this is because they put Smart on Paul Millsap before in the playoffs. Randle's a similar size. He's a little stronger than Millsap. But I genuinely think Marcus Smart could give Randle some problems too. So I think they have better – they have more bodies to throw at Randle that I think could give him problems than they do with Capella, as crazy as that is, because it's like, okay, but we're talking about Trae Young, aren't we? Because it's Randle versus Trae Young. It's not Randle versus Clint Capella. I just think, you know, Trae Young is one thing, and he's really, really tough to stop. But Atlanta has a lot of ways they can attack you scoring-wise, and the Knicks don't have as many. And honestly, in today's NBA, I get it. Defense is still important, but it's really all about scoring. So I will take the team that can't score as well almost every day of the week. I would rather play the team that doesn't score as well. I'm sorry. I just would. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I feel right now. I feel way more comfortable playing the Knicks than the Hawks, quite frankly. I think that, you know, as good as they are defensively, they're not good enough to stop Tatum and Brown and, you know, Kemba, Rob, whatever it is, come playoff time, Fournier. So they're not going to be able to stop everybody. They're not going to be able to outscore the Celtics no matter how good they are defensively. That's my argument. And you're saying that's a fair argument on who to face. Yeah, it's tough. Both of those teams, they're very different. The Hawks and Knicks are very, very different teams. So you could make a fair argument about either one, you know, to whoever you want to play. But, you know, personally, that's why I think that you'd rather face the Knicks. But KJ, for player of the game, for filling in, you know, that's a good vote too. KJ, I'm going to play the game. Neesmith really wants to get in the playoff rotation, you're also saying. You know, I think that he would need to do this a couple more times if he wants to get in the playoff rotation. Because like I said, you're talking about doing this against the Hornets in the regular season is one thing. And look, the Hornets are playing hard. They want to make the playoffs. So, you know, it's a little bit higher level of basketball. But come playoff time, it's going to be hard to crack that rotation. I don't think – I mean, save for something like really miraculous or really impressive, I don't think there's much of anything he can do to really – get into that playoff rotation, solidify himself into it. He could see a few minutes here or there, but I don't think he's in there for sure or anything like that. You're talking about Tremont Waters too. Pinch hitter in the sense that we have Kemba, Smart, Pritchard. You prefer to have you prefer not to have Waters out there, but if everyone needs rest, toss him out there. And if he played 28 minutes and gave you nothing, all right. We're talking about Neesmith there. I'll talk about the Waters thing first. The whole thing with Waters and the pinch hitter analogy, I didn't think it was bad, but yeah, I mean, you know, I guess you would just say, you know, the guy at the end of the bench, you know, your fifth outfielder, whatever the comparison you want to make. Yeah, he's someone that you don't want to play, but if you're forced to, then you're forced to. It's, you know, that's the thing about NBA benches. Why are they 15 deep? It's not because you're playing 15 guys every night. It's because, you know, guys get injured and eventually, all right, well, you know, you're not a starting level NBA player, you're not a backup level NBA player, but you're that next tier down, and you're good enough if we need, you know, a warm body. So, you know, get in there, and that's what Waters is. So, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that pretty much. You're talking about Neesmith now. If he played 28 minutes and gave you nothing, he gets a piece of paper slide across the table that states DNPCD, remainder of the season, main red clause. Okay, I like that. I'll give you a round of applause for that one. That one's good. That one's funny. I appreciate that one. But, yes, Neesmith did nothing yet in that many minutes, that would be an issue. But we're getting to the end of the stream now, so I guess it is time to pick the player of the game. And as the foremost authority on this choice to this point, I'm going to make an executive decision. And I'm giving the player of the game to Neesmith, okay? Who knows how many more? I don't care. I know Jaylen was great. Tatum was great. I know. I don't care. Listen, Neesmith isn't going to get many opportunities like this. We have to cuddle the baby Neesmith, okay? He's just a baby. He's just a little baby. He needs the love to grow and to, you know, to grow into the player he needs to be. So we're going to give him a pat on the back and say, good job today, buddy. That was your best game. Ooh, great job. Career highs across the board. Oh, my goodness. You played so well. You know, he needs that positive reinforcement. He needs that. He's young. You know, he's still... So we're going to give Neesmith the player of the game. Garrett Neesmith, probably his first player of the game, I have to imagine. I don't have the records that Ev has. I don't keep the meticulous records. But first player of the game, Aaron Neesmith, the rookie, played so well. Sorry, Jalen, you have so many. Listen, if I gave player of the game to Jalen, you know what he's doing? He's saying thanks, and he's putting it, you know, in a box in his basement next to all his other player of the game trophies. Give it to Neesmith, he's going to treasure that thing, okay? He will, and he deserved it for what he gave them tonight. His contributions were much, much needed. But that's pretty much going to do it, guys, for this stream. A little bit of post-game one. I know, MT, you're not happy about it. I'm happy for the kid. Great pick. Yeah, okay. But Ev needs to give JP two since he missed him last time you were on. That's true. That's true. Do we give JP another? Yeah, listen, we'll talk to Ev about that when he's back. You guys are going to have to take this up with Ev. But as far as I know, for this game, I get to pick the player of the game. For this game only. I don't know about the other games, okay? But for this game, I get to pick the player of the game. And I'm picking Neesmith, okay? Neesmith is my pick. I want to give the kid his shine. He had a great game, and he deserves it. So we're going to do that. Draft stream tomorrow, it's gear. I'm going to say I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but I don't think so. But small chance there could be a draft stream tomorrow. If not... We'll get you. I'll tell you what. I promise a draft stream at some point during the draft. It might not be round one, might not be round two or three, might be day three, but there will be a draft stream. It's probably either going to be tomorrow night, very small chance, or more likely day three with the round 4-7 picks, and it'll just be more of like a podcast vibe. We'll talk about all the picks. We won't talk about all the picks, not all the picks, but we'll talk about the picks from the days before, what we liked, didn't like, all that kind of stuff. And mostly keep it focused on that. We're not going to go through like each fourth round pick unless there's something interesting, and we'll touch on it. But it'll be more like that, I assume. But yeah, there should be a draft stream coming. I'll try to get a draft stream going at some point in the next few days. And MT, I see you. I can go to bed proud. Noah Neesmith at least earned it. Shout out to him. And, well, guys, during the draft, be sure to follow all the social medias. Thank you, Itzky. Absolutely. We're going to keep up with the draft. And we've been keeping up with it on Guy Boston Sports. And I'm sure, I don't know if you know, Itzky, I am the social media manager. I do tweet out all the stuff. And we've been keeping up with all the news, your Justin Fields news, all your, you know, whatever else, new, whatever other draft news. We've had all the trade rumors, all that kind of stuff. So keep up with there, because look, next 24 hours, it's serious time. So we're going to get into some real, you know, the meat of it tomorrow. The rumors have been swirling all week. So tomorrow, it's going to surely be peak craziness. So if you want to keep up with that, follow Guy Boston Sports on Twitter, just at least for a day. Hey, for a day, turn on notifications for Guy Boston Sports on Twitter, okay? Why not? Just make sure you're getting those alerts for what's gonna happen, because we'll be tweeting out all the news. You can turn it off after, but hey, put us on with Schefter. And guys, also be sure to subscribe on YouTube, as always. YouTube, we gotta keep the YouTube channel growing. You can see it right down here. And hey, follow me on Twitter, because Ev made this little graphic for me, and my Twitter handle's right there. So he was nice enough to put that in. So Ev put in all this work just so you guys would follow me on Twitter. So yeah, the least you can do is give me a follow on Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I think there's another giveaway coming. I don't think Ev's announced his giveaway yet. Ev has told me all about this new giveaway he's doing. I don't think he's put the video up for it yet, as far as I know. Maybe he said it on the post-game streams. I don't know. But Ev, we got to get on this giveaway, the whole thing. We got to get on it. We passed 500, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? We got to get on the giveaways, okay? We got to get this giveaway. I don't even want to say what it is. I teased it a few weeks ago. I don't know. But more giveaways coming too as we continue to grow the YouTube channel. If you guys help us grow it, you'll surely be rewarded by, this giveaway stuff we're doing. So, because it's been growing fast. It's been amazing, honestly, the support we've gotten on the channel. Has been fantastic to see. And, you know, it's that slow build, but we really appreciate you guys coming out for all the post-game streams. You know, all the yeah, the pre-game streams you guys tune in for. Obviously, it's Gears. Thank you for showing it on the draft streams, everything like that. And we know that you guys, we see you guys consistently in there.